Well, we're going to talk about the 23rd Psalm again this evening, and I want you to open your Bible there, please. And I trust that our study's been a blessing to you. I had a bunch of parents come up to me after last week when I talked about the monsters under the bed and the green fuzzy things with one eye. And many of them said, you know, our kids never had any problem sleeping before, but now we're having some real problems with them, you know. I've had one kid who drew me a picture of what I described, and if that came out of my closet, I'd be scared too. But anyway, this week we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about something else. We're going to talk about, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Now, we've been memorizing this together, and so we're going to say all the first five verses together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. We're doing well, don't you think? Amen. That's great. We this evening are going to talk about verse 5 of the 23rd Psalm. And you know, when I began studying this week, I thought I knew what verse 5 was talking about. At least I think I thought I knew. But as I studied, I found out I really didn't know. And that there was so much here that I never saw before, that I never realized before, that was a great encouragement to me as a Christian, and I know it's going to be an encouragement to you. So let's take a moment to pray and ask the Spirit of God to teach us tonight, and then we'll look at the Word of God. Father, you be our teacher tonight. Lord, you open our hearts. You communicate the truth of God to us. Father, you encourage us tonight and give us comfort and hope tonight. Father, you speak to us, I pray, in such a way that we will leave this building tonight knowing that God loves us and that God has provided everything we need as his sheep. Father, I pray you would make your word real and living and powerful in our lives tonight. I pray the Spirit of God would remove the things now that might distract us, and that we would be able to give total attention to the word of the living God. And Father, I pray that for folks who are here tonight who might be struggling, folks here tonight who might be hurting, folks here tonight, Lord, who need a word of encouragement, that you would give it to them by your Spirit. We commit our time in the word of God to you, Lord. May we leave here knowing that we heard the voice of Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Now, when we've studied the 23rd Psalm together, and of course we're approaching the end, we've learned that it's all about God's care for his sheep. A person gets to be one of God's sheep by giving his life 100% to Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And when a person does that, he enters into a sheep-shepherd relationship with Almighty God. And there are all kinds of shepherds in the world, but thank God that he calls himself the Good Shepherd. And as a good shepherd, God promises, verse 1, that his sheep shall not want. That is, everything his sheep need to flourish in this life, God is absolutely committed to providing to them. Now, he starts off by saying, they shall not want. And then the rest of the psalm, verse 2 through 6, is simply an explanation or an amplification or a fleshing out of this principle, of this promise, my sheep shall not want. So far, we've seen God's promise in verse 2 and the beginning of verse 3, inner resources, restoration of the soul. When I'm really down and I'm really low and I need a word of encouragement and an inner working from God, God says you'll get it. Then verse 3 in the end says that God will give me guidance. He will lead me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Last week in verse 4, we saw that God would protect me. Yea, though I walk through the valleys up towards the high mountain lands, where there are all kinds of threats and dangers in the valley, God will make sure that I make it through okay. And tonight in verse 5, we're not talking about restoration of the soul or guidance or protection. We're going to talk tonight about provision. God says that in the big things of life, in the little things of life, God has committed himself to provide for his sheep, and not just to provide in any old way, but to provide in a way that is overflowing and abundant. And that's what he wants to communicate to our hearts tonight. Now, many commentators believe that here in verse 5, David leaves the imagery of sheep and shepherds, that instead he turns to the imagery of a great banquet, where God as the host sets a beautiful dinner table in front of his guests as his enemies look on with envy, and where God as the host anoints the head of every guest with fragrant oil as an act of kindness and reverence towards his guests, and where God as the host fills every guest's wine cup to overflowing abundance. And when I began studying the psalm, I was convinced that's what this verse meant. But I'd like to submit to you this evening that I am not convinced at all that that's what this really means. In fact, I am convinced that David has not left his shepherd sheep situation, that he's still talking about shepherd and sheep. You say, well, what do tables and oil have to do with sheep? And I want to tell you about that this evening, and I think by the time we're done, you'll understand. Let's look at it in three parts. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Now, you remember that in last week, in verse 4, we were talking about the fact that in the summer, it's now summertime in this psalm, and in the summer, the sheep would leave their winter quarters, and they would head up towards the high ground, because up on the mountains, normally barren in the winter, of course, suddenly they've sprung to life. There's all kind of rich vegetation up there, and the shepherd is taking the sheep up onto those high places to graze on those pastures. And verse 5, I believe, refers to these mountain pastures by calling them not a table, but really tableland. I really believe what it's saying here is thou preparest a tableland before me in the presence of mine enemies. Tablelands, you know, are those much sought after high grazing places up in the mountains. Even in America today, out in the West, we talk about the tablelands. We talk about the mesas. And mesa is simply a Spanish word that means table or tableland. And these are the high places that the shepherd was taking his sheep. This is where they were going. And so this phrase, thou preparest the tablelands before me in the presence of mine enemies, I believe refers to the preparation work and the provisional work that the shepherd does to these pastures before his sheep ever get there. You say, wait a minute. I thought you said the shepherd just leads his sheep up there every summer, and he sits in the shade drinking his Dr. Pepper, right? And he just lets them wander all over these mountain fields. Well, that's not exactly right. Long before the sheep arrive at these tablelands, the shepherd has been involved in getting them ready for the sheep. Early in the spring, he goes up to these tablelands to search out the best sections for the sheep. He decides where would be the best place to set up camp. In several trips, he brings up the raw material that they need to make the camps when they finally arrive. He comes and distributes salts and minerals all over the ground so that in the middle of the hot summer, the sheep will have the minerals that they need. He's cleaned out the water holes of all the leaves and the twigs and the stones and the algae and all the debris that's fallen in there over the winter. So there will be clean water for his sheep. And he's checked for poisonous plants and weeds and eradicated them where he can, or at least he knows where he is so he doesn't lead the sheep over there. Philip Keller, in his book, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, tells about doing this very thing for his sheep. He says, and I quote, "The first sheep ranch I owned had a rather prolific natural stand of both blue and white camas." Camas are a kind of flower, a kind of weed that grows. "They were a delightful sight when they bloomed in the spring, but they were a deadly menace to sheep. If lambs in particular ate or even just nibbled a few of the leaves, it would spell certain death. They would become paralyzed, they would stiffen up like blocks of wood and die. My youngsters and I spent many days going through the field plucking out these poisonous plants long before the sheep ever were allowed into the field. It was a recurring task that was done every spring. And though it was tedious and tiring, it was a case of preparing the tableland, and if my sheep were to survive, it simply had to be done. End of quote. This is just some of the things the shepherd had done to prepare the land. The shepherd had also made provision to deal with predators. He'd run off snakes. He'd kill them if possible, or run them off and destroy their nests. He'd scouted out the possible places where cougars or lions or wolves or coyotes could lay in wait for the sheep. He knew when the sheep were grazing exactly where the danger points were that he could keep his eye on, because he knew when the sheep were up there, there were probably eyes up in those rocks watching those sheep. Even in the presence of the sheep's enemies, he had prepared a safe place for them to go. All of this preparation by the shepherd had gone in before he ever took one single sheep up into the highlands to graze in the tablelands. And all of this David had done probably many times for his father's sheep. And I believe that's what he's really saying here, that God, just like David, went ahead of the sheep and prepared the tableland so that when the sheep got there, it was a safe place. That God goes ahead of us as his sheep, so that when we get there, God's already been there ahead of us and prepared it as a safe place. Folks, Jesus is always way ahead of us. I hope you've learned that. Jesus is so far ahead of you, it's not even funny. And when you get to situations in life and you say, "My goodness, look at this," we need to remember, Jesus has been there long before you ever got there. In fact, Psalm 139 says he knows every single thing that's going to happen to you before you were even born. He knew it all. It was all written in his book. He anticipates every danger, every crisis, and fashions a solution before we get there. And that's what David's trying to tell us. He's trying to say part of being God's sheep means that wherever I get to, I can be absolutely sure Jesus has already been here and made a safe place for me. You know who I think of when I think of this? I think of Peter. Do you remember when Jesus was talking to Peter, he made a very interesting statement. He said, "Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat." Remember that? Satan has desired to pull out all of his heavy artillery on you. Remember? And then he said this. He said, "But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not." See, it hasn't even happened yet. In fact, old Peter doesn't even know when Jesus is talking to him what Jesus is talking about. He doesn't even know what's coming. But the important point is Jesus knew what was coming. Jesus had already been to that place. He had already prayed for Peter. He had already prepared a way for Peter. He had already made a provision for his sheep's survival. And then he says to him, "And when you have turned back," he didn't say if. He said, "And when you've turned back," because I know you're going to turn back, because I've already prepared the way for you to turn back, "then, Peter, strengthen your brethren." What's he saying to Peter? Man, if I was Peter, I'd say, "Good night, what does he know?" But what he was saying is, "Peter, I am so far ahead of you. You don't even know what's going to happen, but I know about it. I've prayed for you. You're going to turn back. I've already done everything you need to do, Peter, so relax. And when you turn back, like I said you would, strengthen your brethren." In these words, what Jesus is trying to say to us, folks, is that we can trust him. Anywhere we get to in life, God's already been there. Any situation we face, God's already been there. And he's already made provision for you and me to face it and to have victory. He's way ahead of you, folks. Way ahead of you. My wife and I, when we moved over here from Maryland, we had a house that we owned in Maryland, and we tried to sell it and we couldn't. And we went ahead and bought a house over here, figuring, "Oh, we'll be able to sell it." Well, we couldn't. And we had signed a contract at a house over here, and we had a house over there we couldn't sell. And this church has been very generous to us, but there, folks, there was no way in the world we could handle two houses. It couldn't be done. We were in deep trouble. And we were praying and praying and praying, and we didn't know what to do. And frankly, we were in real deep straits because we were going to have to default. What a great testimony, right? New pastor defaults on contract. About a week before it was D-Day, that's for default day, we got a call from my wife's folks. And they knew about the situation, but there wasn't really much they could do to help. And my wife's grandmother, and I hope you'll understand, I'm just sharing with you, my wife's grandmother, who was involved in a very lucrative business through her husband, my wife's grandmother had called up her parents and said, you know, she said, I was praying just the other night. I was on my knees. And she said, I had some money that was coming due in a CD, a certificate of deposit. It was a lot of money. And she said, I was praying about what to do with it and how to reinvest it, et cetera, et cetera. She said, and as I was on my knees, she said, I really sensed I needed to call you. This is Brenda's folks now. And I needed to ask you whether or not some of the children need any help. Brenda's mom and dad said, well, now that you mention it. And she told him about the situation. And we needed a lot of money, folks, to be able to make that kind of a switch. And Brenda's dear grandmother said, well, she said, it's no problem. She said, my CD is coming to maturity on Friday. D-Day was Monday, folks. And she said, I'll just take some of the money out and I'll give it to them. I'll charge them a low rate of interest. And when they sell the house in Maryland, they can pay me back. And so God rescued us. And you know the thought that occurred to me when I heard about that? Man, I tell you, I was sweating it, folks. But you know what occurred to me? What occurred to me is God was so far ahead of me. I mean, even to having this CD mature right on the weekend before I needed it. God was so far ahead of me. And you know, that encouraged my faith so much because I thought, Lord, if you had all that worked out, I don't need to fear. I don't need to worry. I just need to take it as it comes and trust you, God. Folks, may I say to you, I don't know what your problem may be, but God is way ahead of you. He's way ahead of you. He's already visited. He's already prepared the water. He's already picked the poisonous plants out. He's run the snakes off. He's way ahead of you. And if you trust him, he'll prove it to you. God prepares the tableland before you ever get there. Then he goes on to say, he anoints my head with oil. Again, I believe the secret to understanding this is understanding sheep. Even though the sheep are grazing up on these high tablelands, even though they're feeding in rich, safe pasture, even though the shepherd is protecting them from predators and poison, they still had to face a host of smaller enemies, none of which were deadly, but which were annoying as could be. Parasites and pests and flies and mosquitoes and gnats and lice. And one of the worst nuisances to sheep up in the high tablelands were what are called nose flies or nasal flies. These were flies who tried to lay their eggs in the soft, moist membranes of the sheep's noses. And when these eggs would hatch, the little larvae would creep up into the sheep's nasal passages and burrow in. Would it kill the sheep? No. But man, you had that kind of stuff burying in your nose, it would drive you crazy, I guarantee you. And the Bible, but it's true that sheep would actually beat their heads against posts and against rocks and against trees trying to get some relief from these larvae. Another great problem was what was often called by shepherds scab, for lack of a better term. It was a contagious skin disease, much like the mange, if you've ever had a dog who had the mange where the hair falls out and the skin's irritated. And this was contagious, and sheep would normally get this on their heads because they would have a tendency as sheep to rub their heads, if you ever watch sheep, and nuzzle one another, and it would often appear on their head. And the attacks of these little pests could turn the summer into a very torturous time. What would the antidote of these be? Well, in ancient Israel, the antidote was oil. Oil mixed with sulfur and spices. You say, sulfur? Man, these sheep must have stunk. Can you imagine? They smell like rotten eggs. Well, That may be the case. But I'll tell you, I'd much rather smell like rotten eggs than be a target for nose flies. What do you think? And being Jewish with my nose, I'd be a prime target up there. Listen, shepherds would smear this ointment all over the sheep. They would do it by hand. They would rub it all over their head. They would rub it all around their face and even on their nose. And what this would do is it would keep these little pests away from them. All part of the loving provision of the shepherd for his sheep. Now, what is God saying to us by saying he anoints my head with oil? What God is really saying is, not only does he take care of the big things, like in preparing the table land, like the snakes and the poison and all the other stuff, but God even cares about the little things, like the flies and the gnats and the pests in your life. Not the things that'll kill you, but the things that'll drive you bananas. And God's provided for them. How many times has your soul been heavy, not on something that's going to kill you, but problems weighing you down? And how many times haven't you gotten on your knees and said, Lord, take my burden? And he has. Just like rubbing oil all over your head and driving those little flies away and driving those gnats away and driving all those little pests away from your life. Blessed be the Lord, Psalm 68 says, who daily bears our burden. Jesus said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Philippians chapter 4, in everything by prayer and supplication, making your requests known to God, and the peace of God will guard your life. Psalm 55, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Folks, with the little problems in life, God loves to rub oil on his sheep. Not just the big ones, but the little ones. Jesus cares about them all. And now David sums up. He says, not only does God care about the big things, not only does God care about the little things, but my cup runneth over. And I believe, just as he did in verse 3, where he said, he restoreth my soul, David leaves his imagery for a moment, wants to make sure we get the point, so he simply states it straightforwardly, my cup is filled to overflowing. When it comes to how God provides for me, says David, God has filled my cup to the brim, and then God's poured more in it, and it just runs all over the place. God hasn't just given me the necessities of life. God has given me also the luxuries of life, blessing in life. And that's the way God gives. You know, in John chapter 10, many of you know the verse that says that Jesus said, I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it abundantly. But did you ever notice that that is in the passage where Jesus declares himself to be the Good Shepherd? Did you ever notice that? It's followed by the immediate words, I am the Good Shepherd. And I believe that that refers to the kind of life that the Good Shepherd wants for his sheep. Nothing gives a human shepherd more joy than to see his sheep flourishing. And beloved, nothing gives God more joy than to see us flourish. That's why he says the Lord will give glory and grace. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And that's why he says in Psalm 81:10, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Now I know many of you think that that's the life verse for dentists, but it's not. It's the life verse for Christians. See, open your mouth wide and I will fill. No, you didn't. Yeah, okay. Well, I thought that was cute. I guess you didn't. Anyway, this is really what we're trying to say here. God is trying to say to his sheep, open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. Not just with physical material blessings, but with spiritual blessings too. I love the last line of great is thy faithfulness. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today. Bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine, with 10,000 beside. That's the way God gives. You know, I have two vehicles. I have furniture, I have clothing, I have appliances. I sat around the other day thinking all the things I've got. Got 4 bicycles, 3 skateboards, 2 televisions, 6 baseball gloves, and I've even got a boom box in my house. You name it, folks, and I've got it. I've got a lovely wife. I've got 3 healthy sons. I've got friends who love me. I've got strength to live every day. I've got food to eat. That's obvious. I've got reason to live. I've got hope after I die. I mean, what more could you ask for? Really, what more could you ask for? I know I don't have Boardwalk yet, but that's all right. What more could you ask for than what I've got? And I want to tell you, I began the Christian life with nothing. You've heard me tell you that before. Man, I began the Christian life with what I carried on my back and $5 in my pocket, and that's everything. And you know, I've never had a big job with any kind of commercial firm or in industry where I made $70,000, $80,000 a year before I went in the ministry. I've been in the ministry ever since I've been a Christian. My highest salary before I ever came to this church, full-time salary, was $12,500. That was at the peak of my earning capacity before I came to this church. That's not very much, is it? And yet, look what God has done. I mean, I stand amazed. I don't know how I got all this stuff. I didn't go out looking for all this stuff, but look what God has given me. And I'll tell you, folks, I believe the reason God's done it is simply because I said to him when I was a young Christian, Lord, fill my cup. I lift it up. It's all yours, God. And there have been some rough times, and there have been some hard times, but I want to tell you, God doesn't owe me anything. God doesn't owe me anything. God has provided for me so that my cup runs over. And if God were to take me home right now and give me nothing else in this life, I could leave declaring God has made my cup run over. In the 16 years I've known him, there's not a thing I ever needed that I didn't get. In fact, I got a lot of things I didn't really need, but God gave them to me just because he wanted to treat me special. And I'll bet you that's true of you. Sure, you can think of lots of things you might like to have, but there's not a thing as God's sheep, I'll bet you ever needed, you didn't get. And I'll bet you, just like me, you got a lot of things you really didn't need. God gave them to you just because he loved you. Folks, that's the way God gives. And we need to praise God for being that kind of a provider. I used to always hear from my dad, my job as a husband was to be a provider for my family. Well, folks, I don't know whether I've done a good job providing for my family, but I'll tell you one thing. God has done a great job providing for me as his sheep. And so I want to challenge you. We got to trust God. Sometimes things don't always go the way we want them to. That's all right. We need to say, Lord, that's all right. I know that you're way ahead of me. Lord, I know you're going to provide for me. And I know, dear Lord, that in everything you give, my cup runneth over. Folks, in just a moment, we're going to sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy Faithfulness, O Lord. And you know what? I want to challenge you to take your eyes off all the things God hasn't given you. And I want to challenge you to thank and praise the living God for all the things he has given you and for provision that's like a cup running over. Join me in praying, will you? And then we're going to sing. Father, what a joy it is for us to come together and praise you tonight. And dear Lord, I want to give you my personal praise because you have provided for me in ways that 16 years ago I could never have imagined. Lord, you have given me so many things that I didn't deserve. You've given me things, Lord, that as I look at it from the human level were things I didn't really need. They might have been things I wanted, but Lord, I could have made it without them. And yet you have blessed me so abundantly. You've given to me so richly. My cup runneth over. And Lord, I don't believe you've given to me for any other reason than the simple fact that I'm your sheep and you're my shepherd. And as I've been willing just to let go and trust you, you've given to me the only way you know how to give, and that's abundantly. Father, I pray for each one of us here that you would challenge us and help us tonight to see that that's what you've done for each of us. And even though we may not understand some of the things you've given us right now, Lord, you teach us by faith to thank you for them because you always give in such a way that our cup runneth over. And even if we can't see it now, we will one day be able to. Lord, I want to pray that you would help us trust you more. I pray, Lord, you would help us doubt you less. I pray, dear Father, that you would help us stop worrying about all the things we don't have. And to simply enjoy the riches, Lord, that you've given us. Father, great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. There is nothing your sheep will ever need that you won't provide. And so, Lord, as we stand now to sing that song, may we sing it with all of our hearts. May we sing it, Lord, not just in faith, but in reality, giving you praise for what you've given us today, tonight, right here. And God, may our worship and our praise and our singing of this song be a joy to you. You are a good provider, Lord. You are a good provider. And we acknowledge that, and we want to tell you that tonight and thank you that you're always ahead of us, Lord. You prepare the tableland before we get there. You anoint our head with oil and drive away the little pests. Our cup runneth over. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being such a good shepherd. Thank you that you came to give us life and give it to us abundantly. May we praise you and thank you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.